The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Start of a new week. The dawn of a new era. Glad you are with us this afternoon. And man, we have a very busy show for you. And what would you think if I started the show with really, really good news? I know the first thing you'd think is, okay, who's impersonating Dory's voice and where have they taken him? Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Update.
On Friday, we talked to a man. A friend of his had reached out to us, told us about a guy named Les Mann, 83 years old, still works every day. He's a general, I think he's a commercial fleet manager for a Ford dealership here. And he has a 1997 Ford F-250 pickup truck that he loves. Or he had it, I should say. Because Les's truck was stolen right outside of his home up near Bothell last week. And we called him because the listener said that he was a big fan of the show, that he's a just devout man of faith and a patriot. And when we talked to him, he was just a wonderful, wonderful man.
And, you know, I miss his truck. It's like a member of the family, and they're just so many memories, and it's, you know, it's just like having one of your friends die on you, I guess.
So we posted a picture on Facebook, and then we just asked you to keep your eyeballs out. Kind of unique color, gold and white, 97 F-250. I just want to share with you the email that we got over the weekend, Nicole and I, because it brought tears to my eyes. A miracle! Les's truck was found. It was all due to your station and Dory's interview. I just heard from Les, and the details are still sketchy because he was shaking while he was calling me. This is what I know. Someone heard the interview yesterday, a fan of your show, and as a result, spotted the truck parked on Lowell Street in Everett, called the police. The police called Les. The truck was a bit damaged due to the ignition being tampered with, and the door which they broke into was damaged. The inside was filled with trash, but praise God and all of you. I can't tell you what this means to Les. My eyes are filled with tears and gratitude. This is surely an indication of the listenership Dory has. All I can say, that his reach is huge. Is there any way Dory would have a follow-up short interview with Les and maybe even the person who spotted the truck? The community at large needs to know what a positive force we are and how together we can move mountains. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You have reunited an old man with his truck. With immense gratitude, Madeline. That's a friend of Les's. And of course, we would like to have a follow-up with Les. So we're going to talk to him at 12:30 this afternoon. This one is interesting. When I was talking to him on Friday, he was very fatalistic and very, very faith-filled in his thinking about whether he would get the truck back. Well, Madeline, when she wrote to us, she said about you, you have four happily married kids, six grandchildren, three great-grandchildren. He loves the Lord and is a patriot. So how do you reconcile this, Les, when, you know, with your faith, with your belief in our nation, when we have deteriorated to this extent? How do you reconcile all that in your mind?
Well, it's very hard to reconcile it, but if you think about it, which I've done for the last few days, it's a truck. It's not a person. The Lord knows what's best for you. And if he meant for me to lose that truck, I'll go along with what he wants to happen in my life.
I don't know. I think the Lord wanted Les to have the truck back. So we'll talk to him coming up at 12:30. And the reason I was just going to put this up top here is because if you're the person who spotted the truck and called it in, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to hook you up with Les. So if you are, shoot us a text at 98973. That's 98973. And we'll see what we can do. But thank you And this, you know, I say it all the time. I said just on Friday as I was closing the show, the reason we have so many exclusive, unique stories where we're watchdogging government or elsewhere is because of listener tips, tips from people like you. And also that we've got this huge community of listeners who are looking out for each other, who have each other's back. And I really sincerely thank you, because I know we talk about all kinds of bad news. I get it. But to be able to start a Monday with this news, and we'll talk to Les, which is going to be uplifting, I'm sure, coming up at the bottom of the hour. That's a great way to start a week. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Okay, now we're back to all the lousy stuff. Ballard Commons has been a nightmare for the people of Ballard for years now. We've spent tens of millions of dollars, taxpayers have, for Ballard Commons. They put in a splash park so parents could take their kids there on a hot summer day and splash around in the water. They shut off the water this summer because it was too dangerous to allow children anywhere near Ballard Commons, because Ballard Commons is filled with homeless drug vagrants. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, people experiencing homelessness. So it's filled with homeless drug vagrants, all kinds of crimes. There was a shooting there this year. Over the weekend, there was a gigantic blaze that could be seen from blocks away at Ballard Commons. And Channel 4, ComoNews.com, reporter Kara Kostinich, she did a great job on this story. She talked to Mike Stewart with the Ballard Alliance, who says that we have just absolutely been failed.
After last night's violent explosions and fire, the city's continued inaction is absolutely an epic failure.
It is an epic failure. Yeah, there were lots of explosions in this fire. No doubt, because there are stolen propane tanks in most homeless encampments. I'm sorry, encampments featuring people experiencing homelessness. Because they go into people's backyards and steal tanks right off their deck, right off their barbecue, and then they use that to fire up a meth cook or something. So those were probably propane tanks that were exploding in this conflagration at Ballard Commons. And the same guy says, and they just give us lip service about this.
To date, the only thing that we have heard from the city is that Ballard Commons Park is a priority.
It's a priority, and yet it is worse than ever. It's not a priority. And then, listen, Channel 4 and Kara Kostinich, she had a stat on how many fires there have been just this year in homeless encampments. In encampments with people experiencing homelessness.
Bringing the number of fires at homeless encampments to more than 890 in Seattle just this year. A record jump.
890 fires just this year. And the year's not even three quarters done. So we're on a pace to be at about 1,100 or so, 1,200. It's unbelievable. And your politicians, your city council, who's that guy that's got Ballard District now? Is it Dan Strauss? Everybody tells me that he's a failure. He's an absolute failure as a city councilman. Jenny Durkin's a failure with all of this. The entire council's a failure citywide with this problem. And this is what's coming now. And I've told you this, I predicted months and months ago that the next major issue in our region was going to be vigilanteism. And so Channel 4 talked to a guy, said his name is Wyatt, and he's seen two fires already set this month.
The fact that this is the second fire I've seen in the month of September alone.
And then he showed Channel 4 his gun tucked into his waistband.
And tonight we saw violence around the park firsthand. Wyatt works just across from the encampment and says after an attempted robbery here in July, He's taken safety into his own hands.
I started taking concealed carry self-defensive courses.
And now he's licensed to carry a gun.
I carry appendix.
Okay, so this is what the city council wants. This is what Jenny Durkin wants. This is what Jay Inslee wants. This is what Dow Constantine wants. They want people to start shooting each other in the streets because then they can really get the chaos that'll allow them to tear down and rebuild in their Marxist image. Because that is an inevitable destination for which we are headed. And Wyatt, the armed guy, he said that nothing would make him happier than to have families eventually get back to the park, but he doesn't think that's ever going
to
happen.
I want that to happen so badly, but I've lost complete faith in the city government.
And there's nothing in city government that deserves any of our faith. It is a 100% failure. In every way. And now we have a city attorney candidate who is going to make every misdemeanor crime legal if she gets elected. You must vote for Ann Davison. Ann Davison will put criminals in jail. Her opponent wants to legalize all misdemeanor crimes. So home burglaries, car break-ins, assaults that don't rise to the level of felony assaults. None of them will be prosecuted in Seattle anymore. And everyone's going to be carrying a gun, and we're going to see absolute bloodshed on the streets if that city attorney candidate gets hired. You must vote for Ann Davison for city attorney, or else it is going to go back to the Wild West days of Seattle. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, I do have a question. My friend Bob the Barber up in Snohomish, when we talked to him months and months and months ago, he had opened his barbershop in defiance of the state mandate that said he must be closed. Well, so what happened to Bob the Barber? $90,000 in fines, and they took away his business license. He kept cutting hair, but he didn't have a business license anymore. Our friend Rod Samuelson, who'd been running Spiffy's Restaurant down in Chehalis for 50 years, he opened in defiance of Governor Inslee's mandate. What happens to Rod? Well, he got more than $150,000 in fines, and L&I told me they weren't going to excuse any of them because Rod had missed the appeals deadline. So if you're a little barbershop owner in Snohomish, you get crushed. If you're a little restaurant owner in Chehalis, you get crushed because you've gone against a state mandate. Well, there's another mandate. Masks are required for all outdoor events of 500 or more people. But at the Seahawks game yesterday, roughly 90% of the fans were not wearing masks. And they weren't all holding beers and eating hot dogs at the time, which is the only time you're allowed to take off a mask. One guy didn't even bring a mask to the game. Nicole, you went to the game yesterday. How many masked people did you see?
Well, I saw a lot of signs saying, please mask up if you're not actively eating or drinking. And a lot of people were masked walking in and when they walk past those people, but most people after that had the mask around their chin if they had it at all. And as long as you had food or drink in your hand, you were good to go. So most people just had food or drink in their hand. And then once you got to your seat, there was nobody watching. So
no one had
them in their seats.
Almost everybody, about 90%, just put their mask in their pocket. My question is, if the state goes after a little barber in Snohomish for $90,000 because he violated a state mandate, and if they go after a little restaurant owner who's run his restaurant for 50 years and now is about to close or is closing, has closed, Spiffy's, they went after him for $150,000. Hey, Jay Inslee, what are you going to do to the Seahawks now? Because their violation was literally tens of thousands of times magnitude of Bob the Barber or Rod at Spiffy's. Or do you get a pass if you are popular and by the way, Jay Inslee loves going to the games. Or are you going to be consistent? Are you going to go after every business that violates a mandate? Because your fury at these other businesses was you cannot pick and choose which laws you're going to follow. Even though Jay Inslee does when we allow illegals into our state in record numbers. Even though Dan Satterberg does when he legalizes all drugs in King County. But Jay Inslee says, no, you can't pick and choose. Well, here's the most popular organization, entity in the state. And they violated, like I said, tens of thousands of times the extent of Bob the Barber and Rod the Spiffies. What are you going to do? You just let that slide? Do you only go after the little guys? The big guys get a free pass on it, but the little guys are the only ones you go after? And by the way, I'm not advocating them going after the Seahawks. Fans had a great time yesterday for the most part, till the end. I'm not advocating them going after the Seahawks. I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of them going after little single proprietor businesses or, little smaller businesses. Bob was single proprietor. I don't know what Rod's structure was. But are you only going to go after the little people? It's all so hypocritical. The mayor of San Francisco, she was partying maskless in a club this weekend, even though she has an indoor mask mandate.
I was eating and I was drinking and I was sitting with my friends and everyone who came in there was vaccinated. So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless, no, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, eat and put my mask on. While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off. And yes, in the end time, while we're drinking, like everyone else there, we were all having a good time. And again, all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad.
This stinking hypocrite, her name is London Breed, and she was dancing maskless. She didn't have a bite of food or anything to drink while she was out on the dance floor.
A video shows a maskless Breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear, I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about you and whether or not you know who Raphael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are, but I don't know about you, but if you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting. You're going to get up and start dancing. My drink.
Oh, so if you like the artist enough, then you can be maskless. Like when people go to see the Eagles at Climate Pledge Arena, can they be maskless because they enjoy the artist as much as London Breed enjoyed this artist the other night over the weekend?
I was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit. And I wasn't thinking about a mask. I was thinking about having a good time. And in the process, I was following the health orders.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't following her own health order. Must be masked inside businesses like this. The hypocrisy shows that there is no sincerity in any of these policies, whether it be Jay Inslee's or London Breed's or anybody else's. They are all about themselves. They give themselves an exemption all the time, but they won't give you and me an exemption. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Woo! All right, let's get back to the good news now. I'm going to talk to the guy that was on the show Friday afternoon. Heartbroken that his truck had been stolen. Now that it's been reunited with him, thanks to one of our listeners, I'd love to hear the story, and we will next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, on Friday afternoon, as I told you in the big lead, on Friday afternoon, we talked to a dear man, 83 years old. Les Mann is his name. Still works every day at a Ford dealership. He's a sales manager there, and he was heartbroken because his beloved F-250 pickup truck that he uses to tow his camper. It was stolen from his home near Bothell. And we talked to Les. We put a picture up on our Facebook page. And what do you know? Les Mann joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Les, it's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Nice talking to you, Dory.
All right. So tell me what happened this weekend.
Well, about 9 o'clock, I was drinking my coffee, and I got a call from our dealership, from Pierre, from one of the salespeople that asked me for the license number of my truck. And I says, why? And he says, well, somebody called and thinks they've seen the truck. They didn't have my information, of course, but they knew I worked for Pierre, so they called there. He gave them the license number, which really didn't matter because the license plate was stolen off the car. Mm. But he sent a picture to the guy at Ford. He, in turn, sent that picture to me and asked me if that was my truck. And it was definitely my truck. So I hopped in my car. He told me where it was. It was on a lower, low road up by Everett, the river there, which is a long road, kind of deserted. And he sent me a picture of it. So I was on my way down there to look at it, had the keys. And the sheriff's department called me from the site just to verify the fact that it was there. So I went down, got in it, it fired up. There was no really bad damage to it except the steering column and the door lock, a broken handle on the door.
But all stuff you can fix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not, in fact, I'm in the process of having that done now. There's a few body little scratches I want to have the truck detailed and see if they'll come out. If not, I'll have to do something about those. But the truck was full of garbage.
Oh, already. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, the person who spotted it, did they hear you and me talking on Friday about it?
Well, I never talked to them, but what they told the guy, the salesperson at Ford, is that they saw it on the internet. They did mention that it was on your program.
Okay.
In fact, I've had several people tell me they saw it. You know, people I work with around here and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I would sure like to talk to that person, too. If it's a listener and you're listening right now, text us at 98973, and we'd like to talk to you as well. That sounds like a good person. So what was your reaction, Les?
I'd love to talk to the guy.
I know. I'd love to hook you up. So what was your reaction? Because it was really sad when I talked to you on Friday, and I know you were not comparing a car to a human being, but you said in a way it kind of felt like losing a friend.
Well, it felt like I'd just been blessed again by the good Lord that he'd give me my truck back. It was like a kid getting a Christmas present. I just was so overjoyed back, not so much of getting it back, but of having that restored and having it completely. I lost nothing. I had all kinds of things in that could have been stolen. They didn't steal a thing, just filled it full of stuff.
Yeah.
But, and it was not damaged that bad. And I just praise God. I said when we talked before, if it's meant to come back, it'll come back. And sure enough, he answered my prayer.
You know, that was the first thing I thought of because I thought it was beautiful. And the person who first contacted us is your friend Madeline, and she said that about you. She said that you love the Lord and you are a patriot. And when I asked you about that, and I said, how can you reconcile, you know, with your faith, somebody just coming and stealing your truck? And you said, I think everything happens on the Lord's time. And if it never came back, you were willing to accept that there's a reason for it. But as soon as I heard about it, when Madeline wrote back to us yesterday and said you'd found it, that was the first thing I thought about, Les, was it sounds like God wanted you to be with this truck for a while longer.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe, I did find out that when I took it in, that there actually, when I went out and started this morning, the batteries were dead. So, you know, the Lord knew I was going camping, and so maybe that's the way he figured it out that I needed to have the batteries checked. I don't know.
Man, that's a very complicated way. Couldn't he just put a battery low light on the dashboard or something? Cry it out loud. Did. Having your truck stolen to show you that your battery's dead, that is the Lord going to very great lengths there, Les.
I know. But it's kind of comical to think that way sometimes.
I was really just, I was beaming when I heard about this yesterday, that it was one of our listeners who spotted it and that you were reunited with it. So I couldn't be happier for this little bit of news. And what a great way to start the week for us.
Well, let me tell you, it's a good thing to advertise on the your show. A lot of people heard that or saw it.
That's what all my sponsors tell me, too.
God bless you for doing that. Huh?
I said, that's what all my sponsors tell me, too, that it's a very good thing. Well, Les, it's really nice talking with you again. I hope your next camping trip is fantastic, and congratulations.
Well, it'll be more more exciting, and I'm looking more forward to it now than I ever was, just to get back in it in my truck.
There you go.
And I really thank you, Doria, and God bless you.
God bless you as well, my friend. And let's stay in touch, okay, Les?
You betcha. Have the guy call me or text me or something if he calls, would you?
Yeah,
please?
We'll try to figure that out. You got it.
Okay.
Okay, Les, well, enjoy the rest of your week, sir.
I am going to. It's a big load off my shoulder.
I love it. All right. Take care, Les. Thank you.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
All right. Les Mann, who we hear all the time about boys and their toys. And here's a man in his truck. He's had this truck. It's a 1997 Ford F-250, and he loves it. And that's so cool. I just couldn't be happier. All right. Hey, if you're the person who spotted it, it was a listener to this show, text me, 98973. I could set you guys up to visit on the air here, you and Les. Love to do that. Okay, we have lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. It was on Thursday when Dow Constein and Jenny Durkin, they had a press conference to talk about the new King County mask mandates and everything else. And, you're going to have to show proof of vaccination to go into restaurants and bars and movie theaters and concert halls. But there was one thing that Dow Constein kept talking about. And I thought, this is really, really strange because we're one of the best vaccinated counties in the country. And if you are vaccinated, your risk of dying is diminished greatly. But Dow kept trying to scare people, and he kept using one word in particular.
Hospitals in King County and all across our state are at their highest occupancy rates, admitting more COVID-19 patients now than at any point since the pandemic began more than a year and a half ago.
Okay, she's talking about record hospitalizations, and then he says the morgues are going to get full.
Again, because of the very high number of hospitalizations and deaths, as we've seen in some other parts of the country even last year, there's starting to be a concern about inadequate morgue capacity. We hope we do not reach the point of actually having to have additional capacity.
Inadequate morgue capacity, even though while people are getting sick, the vaccinated are not dying, which is why I think you should get the vaccine if you want to. I'm just against the government mandate. And, you know, as I've said, I think the mandate makes people just dig in their heels. They're not going to force me what to do. Even when otherwise maybe you would say, yeah, the stats are pretty compelling and the vaccine makes sense. But anyway, so Dow kept talking to you two quotes where he talked about the morgue capacity. And I realized this weekend that that is another one of those words that must have been tested, and they're using it, they're trotting it out all around the country now. Because this weekend, there was a senator from Minnesota, state senator, he is also a doctor, and he was talking about morgues.
We have a $7 million morgue that the governor purchased, a building to store the bodies, because we wouldn't be able to handle it when we got to 1,000 deaths a day in July. Well, throughout the entire pandemic, Minnesota hasn't had 2,000 deaths in 7 or 8 months. So the governor has said, well, maybe we can use it to store something else.
Something besides dead bodies. But why? Did they field test the word morgue? Do they do focus groups and decide, okay, Dow Constein and King County, I'm sorry, Martin Luther King County, the governor of Minnesota, start trotting out the word morgue? Because it is kind of a grim word. It's kind of an unpleasant word. Nobody wants to be at the morgue, either visiting or as a resident. But he said, okay, so the governor built this, talking about what the death toll was going to be, and then they didn't even come close to that death toll. And that's what happened here, too, when you had Jay Inslee saying, we aren't going to have hospital capacity, and we're going to have to do triage out on the sidewalks. So what did Donald Trump do? He sent the National or the Army Corps of Engineers, it was. The Army Corps of Engineers swept into Seattle, spent millions of dollars, built a huge hospital next to the football stadium, and nothing, not one patient in that hospital. So then they spent a fortune to send the Corps of Engineers back to tear it all down. But, you know, every prediction that they've been making has been ridiculous. And so that's why I say, with this mask mandate, wait till you hear. I'm going to preview at 1:30 this afternoon. I'm going to talk to a mom. She has two sons in high school. One is perfectly healthy. The other one has a terminal illness. It's a neuromuscular disease. And she told me that his lifespan will likely be into his early 20s. And at school, they're making that kid wear a mask. He can't get immunized. He just wants to be with friends and with other kids and to learn. But they're making him wear a mask. And the mom told me that they put this kid in isolation, alone in a room with a parent, because he couldn't wear a mask, because he has reduced lung capacity because of his terminal illness. I'm telling you, we're going insane as a society. So I'm going to talk to that mom coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. Do not miss that. All right, we are going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then, in the fastest 15. We've got a lot of local news that I want to get to. But also, the fallout in Afghanistan is starting to build on the Biden administration. Many in the media want to give him a free pass, but I have an illustration of how so many media outlets just flat out lie to you. I have the audio proof coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.